Wednesday evening gives out sweets and lollies. Is that right? And this morning, Richard gave out, was it jelly beans? Jelly babies. Tonight I'm going to do something that I don't think will be done again by me. You see, this is what is on offer tonight. I'm looking for the person that sits still, is attentive, and shows a willingness to contribute. The person who does that best can go home with a £5 note. Now, I need someone to be the judge. No, you can't be the judge. Good thinking. But I need someone very responsible in order to do that. And Laurie, yes, I am looking at you. And I'm going to ask you, if you wouldn't mind, to just sort of look across the way there and determine by the end of the talk who you think deserves the £5 note. All right? It does indeed. It does indeed. Now, I can see some young people sitting up very straight. In fact, when I got the £5 note out, I noticed how wide the eyes went. I wonder, let me put that down. I wonder whether that means that in some measure at least, whether you are like so many people in this world who really like money. In fact, like many people in this world who really love money and will do almost anything to acquire money. Can we have my first picture, please, on the screen this evening? Because here is a picture of a man who loves money. And he works really hard in order to acquire more and more money. Loves to be able to sit down and count his money. And if he worries about anything, it's losing the money that he has acquired. Now, I want to say something really important tonight, and you must take note of this. It's not wrong to have money. Neither is it wrong in God's eyes to have lots of money, but money brings lots of dangers with it. And there's certainly something not very good about having a love of money. Can we have the next slide, please, on the screen? Now, why has that done that? The one before then? Ah, there we go. Let me read to you 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 10. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. We will have the next slide now, please, Peter. You see, sometimes people love money so much that they're willing, as you can see in this picture, to steal. Sometimes people love money so much that they argue and fight over it. I wonder whether there'll be some fighting over the £5 note tonight. Maybe there will, maybe there won't. Sometimes people will bully in order to get more money. This is a picture here of a boss having a go at one of his employees because he wants him to work harder and harder and harder and harder. Why? So that he might acquire more and more money. Some people love money so much that they're even willing to kill in order to get it. Some people love money so much that they're willing to work all hours at the expense of serving God, looking after their health, and caring for their family. For some people, there is a real love of money. It's a very dangerous thing. Now, if you've got your Bibles in front of you, and I did notice, it was a lovely thought, interestingly, adults, a moment or two ago, there were four Bibles that were laid out open along the front row here. I found that tremendously encouraging. But if you have got a Bible, do have it open, please, at Luke and chapter 12. And we're going to look tonight at this passage that Aled read for us just a little while ago. Jesus was speaking to the people. And someone in the crowd, a man in the crowd presumably, said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide his inheritance with me." Interestingly, Jesus was preaching and someone decided to interrupt Jesus whilst he was teaching. I hope that nobody's going to interrupt me tonight, but you never know, do you, what is going to happen? I've been interrupted before as I've been preaching, not only here but elsewhere. Can you imagine Jesus was interrupted whilst he was speaking? There was a man who was concerned, you see, that Jesus might say something to his brother, that he might tell his brother to divide the inheritance with him. Can anybody tell me what an inheritance is? What's an inheritance? Can anybody tell me? Any ideas? Can some of the adults help us? What's an inheritance? Nobody knows. I'm sure you do know. What's an inheritance? Somebody help me out. Indeed. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. We'll have the next picture up. Naomi, at lunchtime today, looked at Joanne's ring and said, "Oh, that looks nice. I would like one of those." And Joanne just happened to say, "Well, one day, Naomi, that will be yours." "Really?" she said. "Yes, sir, Joanne, and everything that we have will be yours." "So I get all your money then, Dad?" "Yeah, you do. You get all my money for what it's worth." When parents die, when grandparents die, when aunts and uncles die, sometimes we get what they've left behind. It's called an inheritance. And there was this particular man on this particular day who was obviously fighting with his brother over who should get the inheritance. Maybe they were fighting over the house. Maybe they were fighting over the land. Maybe they were fighting over the money. Maybe they were fighting over something else. I don't know. But they were in disagreement. But you know, Jesus didn't want to give an answer, did he? He didn't want to make a judgment. Why did this man ask Jesus? Well, Jesus was a teacher. He was a rabbi. And people often went to religious teachers. They often went to rabbis in order to settle disputes. This is why this man came to Jesus. But as I've said, and as the text says here, Jesus wasn't willing to make a decision. But Jesus did have something that he wanted to say to this man, and presumably to all the other people that were there on this particular day. You see, I think that Jesus knew that there was something going on in this man's heart that needed to be addressed. I think that Jesus knew that this man had a love for money. Watch out. He wasn't watching out. It hit him. He's concentrating on looking at the young people. Peter, watch out. He wasn't watching out either. That's exactly what Jesus says, isn't it? Here in the text next. You can pick up that sweet, Peter, if you want, and it's all yours. Sorry, Laurie, for hitting you in the chest. Jesus wanted to get this man's attention, just as I sought to get your attention. Jesus has something important that he wanted to say to this man. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Money, a love of money, is so dangerous. Well, Jesus told the people that were present on this particular day and this man a parable, a story, in order to make his point. And I'll indicate, please, if I may, when to move to the next picture. There was a certain rich man, he's the rich man, whose ground or whose land produced a good crop, a bumper crop. Okay, next picture. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Next picture. "This is what I'll do," he said. "I will tear down my barns and build bigger barns." And here are his bigger barns. Next picture. "And there I will store all my grain and goods. And I'll say to myself," next picture, "you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, next picture, "You fool." Or as someone might say today, and I don't think that this is an inappropriate word to use, "you numpty." Have you heard that expression before? "You numpty, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded of you." In other words, you're going to die. "Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself?" And of course, it wouldn't be him, would it? It would be someone else. God called this rich farmer a fool. And I've been thinking this week, why did God call him a fool? You see, I think that lots of people today, in fact, I think that most people today would say that this man was really clever and not a fool. Why did God call him a fool? You see, this man had worked hard. It's not easy to be a farmer. It requires a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication. He'd planted his crops. And having worked so hard, he reaped a good harvest, and why not? He was a hard-working businessman. He wasn't a lazy man. I think as well, we can say that here was a man who showed a willingness to save. You know, he took what he had and he put it in his barns. I think that saving's good, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I save money. I don't spend it all. This man wasn't like the prodigal son who we were thinking about last time, who just went out and wasted all his money. Why did God call him a fool? This man surely prepared for his future. He organized a good pension plan for himself. Surely this was a very wise and prudent thing to do. Why then did God call him a fool? Let me tell you why I think God called him a fool. Because all he thought about was money. All he thought about was money. All he thought about was riches on earth. All he thought about was living comfortably and enjoying life and being secure in life. God called him a fool because he didn't give any thought to God. He didn't give any thought to the fact that one day he would have to stand before God and give an account. He didn't give any thought to serving God. He didn't give any thought to how he might use his gifts and his money for God. He was a fool because that very night his life would be over and he would have to leave everything behind. How much would he have to leave behind? Yes. Everything. I heard a story once about a man who went to a funeral service. It was the funeral service of a lady who was extremely wealthy. And after the service, the man went up to the vicar who conducted the service and said, well, how much did she leave behind? And the vicar was very quick to respond to that question. Absolutely everything. But you know, the real tragedy of this story is not that he had to leave everything behind. The real tragedy of this story is that he lost his life. He lost everything in eternity. You see, he wasn't ready to face God. And he didn't go to spend eternity with God in heaven. No, he went and spent eternity outside of God's presence in hell. What a fool. What a numpty. What profit a man if he gain the whole world yet forfeit or lose his own soul? Will you look at verse 21 with me? Luke chapter 12 and verse 21. This is Jesus applying the story or applying the parable. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. What does it mean, I wonder, to be rich towards God? Well, let me tell you that in the book of Revelation, we find a letter written to a church called Smyrna. Now, the Christians in this particular church were poor, very poor, and they were persecuted. Life was not easy for them at all. But Jesus, the Lord of the church, said to them, "You are rich." Why were they rich? They were rich because they knew God. They were rich because they knew something of God's grace. They were rich because they knew God's forgiveness. They were rich because they were at peace with God. They were rich because they knew God's contentment. The contentment that God is able to give. I want to read you a story at this point. A story that I found on the internet. There's a story of a rich man who was disturbed to find a fisherman sitting lazily beside his boat. "Why aren't you out there fishing?" he asked. "Because I've caught enough fish for today," said the fisherman. "Well, why don't you catch more fish than you need?" the rich man asked. "What would I do with them?" "You could earn more money," came the impatient reply, "and buy a better boat so that you could go deeper and catch more fish. You could purchase nylon nets, catch even more fish, and make more money. Soon you'd have a fleet of boats to be rich like me." The fisherman asked, "Then what would I do?" "Well, you could sit down and enjoy life," said the industrialist. "Well, what do you think I'm doing now?" the fisherman replied as he looked placidly out to sea. Riches don't bring contentment. God, Jesus Christ, brings contentment. And I think these poor, struggling Christians in Smyrna knew what it was to be content. They knew God's contentment. They knew the hope of heaven. They knew the gift of eternal life. This is what it means to be rich. Now let's ask a question at this point. Can we know such riches? Well, the answer to that is yes, we can. We may never inherit £1 million. We may never earn £1 million, but we can be really rich. As we repent of our sins, and as we trust in Jesus Christ as our Saviour and Lord and receive all the blessings that are to be found in Jesus Christ. Can I just have that? No, I've still got the £5 note up here. I thought I'd give it to you, but I haven't. Let's come back to the £5 note, shall we? And let me Let me put this question to you. Please don't respond when I put this question to you, but just think about what your response would be. Which would you rather have tonight? Would you rather have the £5 note? Or would you rather have Jesus Christ? Let me try to apply this to the adults as well, because some of them are not going to think too much of a £5 note. Would you rather have £1 million and a lovely home and lots of security? Or would you rather have Jesus Christ and all the blessings that he can give? Let me ask you tonight, what is your heart set upon? What do you really love? Don't just give me the right answer. Don't just say what you think the right answer is. I'm encouraging us all tonight to be honest with ourselves and to examine our own hearts. What tonight do we want? Do we want this? Or do we want Jesus? Do we want to follow Jesus? Do we want to give our lives to Jesus? Do we want to serve Jesus with all the energy and resources that he has given to us? Only you really, at the end of the day, can answer that question. You can see the £5 note, you can't see Jesus. Perhaps for that reason you'd rather have the £5 note. I don't know. One of you is going to get it tonight. I don't know who it is yet, but I think it's a very challenging question, isn't it? The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's a dangerous thing. This stuff called money, it's not wrong to have it, but it brings with it many challenges and responsibilities. And you know, this evening, just as I finish, my prayer would be that you would see, each one of you, Jesus for who he really is and would value him as being worth so much more than billions of these things. Because these things are here today and they're gone tomorrow. But Jesus lives forever. And the blessings that Jesus gives can be known throughout all eternity. Something to think about. Let's pray together. Lord God, we read your word, we think about it together. And what a challenge it is to us sometimes. Lord, I can't judge any of the people sitting in front of me because I know that sometimes I get caught up in the way of this world, in the way that it thinks, in the way that it operates. Oh Lord, materialism is such a snare to those of us who profess to be Christians. Forgive us, we pray. Help us to take the steps necessary not to get caught up in the way that our society is. Help us, Lord, we pray day by day, to realize that the real treasure is to be found in Jesus. Help us to be those who are rich towards God. Help us to realize that the things that we have around us that are so tangible are here today and gone tomorrow. We can't take any of them with us. Help us to store up for ourselves treasure in heaven, true treasure, real treasure. Oh, open our eyes that we might see how wonderful, Lord God, your treasure is. Lord, if there's anyone here tonight who is perhaps at a crossroads, recognizing that a decision needs to be made as to which way they are going to go in life, what they're going to seek after, what they're going to set their heart upon, may it be Jesus. Let the devil not come along and snatch the word that has been sown in their minds. Lord, may your word, even this night, fall upon good soil and bear much fruit. And we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.